The hosts feel it would be a little unkind to present this podcast without just a word of friendly warning. We are about to unfold the story of Frankenstein, a man of science who sought to create a man after his own image without reckoning upon God. It is one of the strangest tales ever told. It deals with the two great mysteries of creation, life and death. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now's your chance to. Well, we've warned you.
Hello, and welcome once again to the Frankencast. I'm the mad scientist, Anthony Bowman. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm joined as always by...
one of the two gargoyles that's always in the game, that is Eric Velasquez. My pronouns are also he, him. That's a Dark Souls reference, by the way.
Okay.
There's always a goblin fight. Or not goblin, gargoyle fight. There's two of them. Always. Twin gargoyles.
Okay.
It sucks.
Well, yeah.
Like this movie. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, this movie. So yeah, we're talking about I, Frankenstein, and
it was really cool seeing Van Helsing once again.
Yeah, it definitely did feel like just kind of a knockoff of that, which I think both this movie and that movie were sort of inspired by the Underworld series doing so well.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, there's in fact, I think a lot of the people involved in this were also involved in Underworld, down to like I think the writer of this is a actor who was in Underworld, from what I was looking at, like the guy who wrote the graphic novel that this movie was based on, which I had no idea this was based on a graphic novel.
Okay, I could buy that. I feel like in graphic novel form, this is way better.
Yeah, because it, in a way, is just Batman, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, literally at the end, it's a fucking Batman monologue.
Mm-hmm. With like, the scratchy voice.
Not the protector this world needs, but I'm the one yeah. You get right now, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think, I think you know, cool vampires in trench coats can pull off Batman vibes a little better than just Frankenstein.
Or you mean just Aaron Eckhart?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, with like one stitch on his face.
Yeah, right. You know what happened? I feel that this is what happened. He was like, he played in The Dark Knight, and he was like, man, I could be Batman. And everyone else was like, there's too much Batman. No more Batman. Right. We've got this really cool movie coming up. It's going to star Ben Affleck. It'll be the best Batman ever. you could be Batman adjacent, though. What's Batman adjacent? Oh, yeah, Frankenstein.
Right.
Yeah. So there's the whole movie. It's done. All right. Nah.
Yeah, and I mean, even right out of the gate, like, so this movie starts, you've got like this kind of serious operatic music, and like the camera kind of, you know, zooming in on this like frozen landscape, and then you get the I, Frankenstein logo that's all kind of like, it looks like a metal band logo. It's just got pointy things sticking off of it in different directions and stuff.
This was like the tail end when all the like death metal bands had the really weird squiggly like vine root thing going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you know this movie's taking itself pretty seriously right out the gate. And then we see the frozen tundra with like the northern lights in the background.
Yeah, and, I mean, we basically get a recap of Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like with Aaron Eckhart doing like, you know, the Batman voice as he's doing this voiceover, like, yeah. You know, I was created by a scientist who then tried to destroy me, but I survived. And
but like he didn't, I guess.
Yeah. And he's like, he's, you know, I felt like it was a life for a life, so I killed my creator's bride. And yeah, but ultimately, like, you know, the end of his little voiceover is that he decided to bury Victor in the Frankenstein family cemetery. So he carried Victor's corpse all the way from the North Pole back to Geneva.
To fucking Geneva. Like, how was he lugging that corpse across fucking customs, you know? And they're just cool with that, you know? Like, he had to pass a dock worker and probably a few people on the street.
Yeah. Somehow he makes it all the way there, but once he's there, that's where he gets accosted, but it's not by the authorities, it's by a bunch of demons who kind of seem like vampires a little bit, like, but also, yeah, like,
these are the vampires we have at home.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And he's like fighting, he's surrounded, there's like, I don't know, five or six dudes, and they're, you know, they're all, he's like somehow like a master fighter, you know, like, yeah. No training as far as we know, but he's doing pretty well. But then he gets some backup in the form of several gargoyles that come to life off of nearby crypts and like join in the fight. It's and amazing. They seem to be against the demons.
Yeah, and he kills one with it's not even a tombstone, it's just like a burial marker. But mm-hmm. It has like three bars, so it's like a triple crucifix or something.
Yeah.
It looks like the Orthodox symbol.
Mm, yeah.
Like the Orthodox crucifix, but it doesn't have the one bent bar.
Oh, yeah. And they eventually say that this is like the symbol of the Gargoyle Order or something, don't they?
Yeah, apparently there's a Gargoyle Order. I mean, does that imply an order of other beings? Or is it their specific gargoyle type? Their order.
And we'll get, like, they kind of tease this lore out slowly, but, like, I think the implication is that gargoyles are angels who were sent to Earth to, like, guard important things from the demons.
Right.
So.
Which, that leads into a whole other series of questions, you know?
I feel like the main question is, why is Frankenstein involved in this battle between angels and demons?
I mean, it is more on the demon side, right? Mm-hmm. They do... Well, I don't know. Do they know it this time? Because I know the gargoyles kind of do. Because they say as much.
Yeah.
But then they could be lying because these gargoyles are really shitty angels.
Yeah, because it seemed like maybe the demons were there looking for Victor... Like they
right.
And they didn't really know who, you know, the Frankenstein monster was, but
they'll take him as a runner up, right?
Yeah, the gargoyles and Frankenstein together managed to take out all the demons, and then the gargoyles take him back to their lair, which is like at the top of a cathedral, kind of
well,
in like
can
a bell
we
tower.
Also discuss? Can we discuss a line that's said by one of the? I call them. Angel Goyle rogues, because they are absolutely all dressed like D&D rogues.
Yes.
They have the cloaks, they have like the leather, like, I don't know, breastplate
mm-hmm.
/ vest.
Yeah.
So one of them says, this is the first time I've seen a demon this far north. Is there a geographical fucking location for demons?
Maybe they don't like the cold?
I mean, okay, that scans.
Yeah, but it definitely, like, there is no, like, there's a lot, I mean, they do try to tease out a lot of this lore as we go, but there's also just some, like, major holes in, like, why is this happening? What is going on? It's a dumb action movie that's trying to pretend it's, like, you know,
it's a
fantasy movie with, like, you know, all this kind of dark religious sort of symbolism and stuff that's just not really there.
And honestly, I was sitting there thinking about it, and I was like, well, we could talk more about it, but the long story made short, I was like, if this was just a fantasy movie, this would make so much more fucking sense and probably be better because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like the attempts to tie it to, like, the underworld / universal monsters sort of vibe is where it starts to kind of like get off track,
right? Which is bad because that's the start.
Yeah, exactly.
Immediately derailed.
But yeah, so the gargoyles are like, they don't seem to know who Frankenstein is either, but they're like, who is this guy? Like, he seems like just some dude, but he, like, killed a demon, and that's, like, you know, hard. We've done a lot of training to do that. We wouldn't expect just a human to be able to do it.
Oh, yeah, one of the gargoyles says, it's alive! Because, yeah. You know, we have to have that reference.
Yeah, because he's, like, unconscious and they're not sure if he's okay. And then, yeah, he wakes up. And yeah. But then once they say that, we just immediately cut to him just chained up. And the gargoyles that he was working with are there. And there's also a lady gargoyle that's all dressed in white. And she's obviously, like, I think they literally call her the Gargoyle Queen a couple of times. That's what I call her in my notes the whole time.
Yes, her name is Lenore, the Queen of the Gargoyles, or High Queen of the Gargoyles. Mm. Wait a second. So what you're telling me is there are multiple queens of gargoyles.
Right, yeah.
Because High Queen implies a hierarchy of queens.
Mm-hmm. And this actress, I knew she's in like the Sabrina the Teenage Witch TV show. She's one of mm-hmm. Sabrina's aunts. That's the only thing I knew her from. The weird thing about this is I feel like there's a lot of good actors in this, and they all kind of bring their A game. They're good, but it's just the story doesn't live up to what they're bringing to the table.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, the second coming of white bread, Jai Courtney, is in this. And, like, honestly, he didn't do bad. Like, I feel like he just got in too many shitty movies, and everyone was just done with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not saying he's an acting tour de force.
Yeah, I feel like that happens to, you know, like, you lose patience with actors if they've just been in several bad things, and then, like, they just kind of, you know, I feel like, you know, Nicolas Cage had that reputation for a while because, like, he was, you know, in debt and just, like, taking every role he could get. And people were just like, oh, he's a bad actor.
Obligated.
Yeah, but, you know, even if you go back and watch some of all those, like, bad movies he was in, he was still doing good stuff. Like, it was weird because he's Nicolas Cage, but, like, you know, he was making attempts to do something interesting. And you know, I feel like, you know, good actors can kind of get tainted if they're in enough, you know, mediocre or bad things.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And this is just a year after Terminator Genesis? God. Yeah, no wonder. Like, this dude was just in a bunch of stinkers.
Yeah.
The original Suicide Squad, and of course, luckily he was in the second Suicide Squad movie for, like, a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, but let's talk more about the queen.
Yeah, so she starts kind of telling Frankenstein their whole deal. They're gargoyles / angels, and that they've been in this, like, ongoing, like, eternal war with the demons. And they're curious what the demons were so interested in what he was up to.
Yeah, but they found this weird book on him.
Yeah, and they're like, we're not sure if we want to keep you alive or not. So, like, let us know what's up, because, you know, we're trying to decide if you're a liability or could be useful.
Yeah, because we got this demon named Bill Nyeberius looking for you.
They got Bill Nighy in this movie. Like, he's fantastic at everything, and he's in this just goofy trash movie. It's so weird.
Like, is there a movie with Bill Nighy and Charles Dance? That would be amazing. They would snark off. Like, it would be the best thing ever.
Yeah, yeah, they would go well together. So the Gargoyle Queen is basically like, looking at this book, I see that you're the creation of Victor Frankenstein. Like, we've heard, you know, legend of you, but we thought you had died when he did. We'd like you to work with us, and since Victor never gave you a name, here's a gift. We'll name you Adam.
Right. And he's like, yeah, I'm not too interested in that, thanks.
Yeah, it was so weird because he's like, no, I don't want to help. I you know, I want to live my own life. I just want to kind of stay out of this conflict. And then they're like, well, how about
what edgy protagonists do at the time.
And even though he's like, no, I don't want to do this, they're like, we're going to take you to our armory and show you all our cool weapons and give you a couple. Just, you know, no obligation. You can just take them and leave, which seems like a really bad idea, but
there are no strings attached to these weapons that we're giving you.
And
pretty much they spell out, like, anything with this little symbol on it could pretty much kill demons. And it's like, why don't they just make a bunch of fucking bullets?
Yeah, you can make a machine gun with a bunch of little bullets with that on it and take out all kinds of guys. But instead,
call it a day.
Yeah, it's mostly swords, but Adam, he's got a different idea. He wants these just like staffs. They're like, what are those called? They're like basically like what Nightwing uses in Batman.
Eskrima.
Yes. Yeah.
He studied in the Philippine martial art of Eskrima. Somehow on his journeys.
Yeah, and the gargoyles kind of mock him about it. They're like, those are blunt and crude.
Why not give him a fucking hammer? Like, why would he think, oh, two sticks, that's great. That's a great weapon for
him. Yeah.
And what part of Frankenstein did he use two sticks? He's like, no, I'll just choke the shit out of everything.
But he's like, no, this is me. This is the weapon that really speaks to me. And they're like, all right, whatever.
I'm a blunt instrument. Also, hammer would have been a great idea because it's a fucking blunt instrument. Like,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
And so then we get like another sort of like montage with another voiceover in the Batman voice where he's like, you know, I left the demons or the gargoyles behind and roamed the earth and hid from man and angels and demons alike. Eventually the demons found him. So he like, we're to assume, like this whole prologue takes place in the 1800s, I would guess. Like it's in the past and, you know, now suddenly we are in like, you know, modern day. So
let me jump in here real quick. Cause I have, this is another peeve of mine. So this is a trilogy that was crammed into a single movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because like that beginning part, like that's fine. But then he literally just goes, yada, yada, yada. I fought demons for 100 years and now I'm in modern times. What?
Yeah.
Like,
and the only way you can tell that he has changed over the 100 years is like he originally has just kind of like long scraggly hair, and now he's got like he's done a Metallica basically. He like got a serious haircut, and you know is now fighting demons. The demons found him. He fought them. And now he's decided to return to the real world, which means he immediately goes to, like, a dance club.
Right. Well, now he's hunting them now, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've been hunting him, so he's hunting them.
Yeah.
Which, once again, that could have been its own fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, like, Frankenstein...
I don't know why I'm asking for more of this.
Yeah, I think Frankenstein versus demons makes sense, but, like, having the gargoyle / angels thing... Further, I mean, I guess the idea is that he's like, you know, he's something in between an angel and a demon, but it just is convoluted. There's too much going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he in the club, he like ends up seeing somebody that he identifies as a demon. There's like a chase. They end up in a fight in an alleyway. A cop sees him.
Murdered.
Yeah, because he sees Adam beating the shit out of a demon and is like, drop your weapon, and you know, of course he doesn't know the full context. And then yeah, the demons kill the cop,
but a bunch of them get killed in return, so it's okay.
Yeah. So yeah, there's this big sort of like explosive fight. It goes on a while. There's like fireballs going everywhere, and then when it ends we just cut to like a very high-tech science lab. We've got two scientists with British accents. They're working in the lab trying to revive a dead rat.
Right. The lady is Yvonne Strahovski, if that strikes your chord.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, I only know her from Chuck mainly, but I know she's been in a lot of stuff.
She was another one that's like, you know those actors that they try to make happen, like mm-hmm. like Jai Courtney and Sam Worthington. They tried to make Yvonne Strahovski happen and everyone was like, no.
Yeah.
I mean, she's attractive, but, you know, no.
Yeah, she definitely had a very short window of time, and I've not seen her in anything in years. But, yeah, she's, you know, they kind of do the Frankenstein thing with the rat, where it's like they zap it with all this electricity, they think it didn't work, they're about to give up, and then they see there's a heartbeat. Turns out they found a way to revive a rat, but that's as far as their experimentation has gone up to this point.
Right, but now their mysterious benefactor is like, can we begin human testing? Now, you know who this motherfucker is. We get the full Bill Nighy lean forward face reveal.
Mm-hmm. It's so, like, while they're doing their whole thing, we just see hands making a cup of tea. And, like, it's ominous as hell. You're just like, whoever's making this tea, you don't want to fuck with this guy. And, like, you don't see anything but the hands and the tea, but you can just tell. And then, yeah, he leans forward, and it's him. He's been watching. We find out that this is like he talks to them and is like, you know, yeah, we want to up the, you know, the testing. And then he goes into his office where two of the demons we saw earlier come in.
I wonder who he is then. If he has demons coming into his office, that's weird that a normal human would have that.
Yeah, so I think they pretty much, they call him Lord Nibirius right away, Nibirius. Don't they? Yeah. Yeah, so he's the demon prince that the gargoyles are you know, facing off against. And they want to...
He has a really good scene, though. Mm-hmm. He's like, are you presuming to tell me what I want? Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because like, oh, these two guys are like, they're like, you know, we were just in a fight with this guy, and he killed like all of our... Or he descended. That's what they call it. If you kill a demon, you descend them, and they, you know, their soul goes back.
Can we stop that weird bullshit instead of just saying killed?
Like, yeah.
They phased them out, or, you know, rezzed them. No, just say fucking killed people.
Yeah, it's so silly.
You don't need to be cute.
And later, when we'll find out that if an angel gets killed, it's called ascending them.
Ascending.
Yeah. But he killed several demons, but they fled the fight so that they could warn Lord Nibirius. And he's like, oh, right. You thought it was better to be cowards and escape the fight to tell me rather than try to finish the fight. So he's not happy about that.
Or bring him back here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So does he kill them here?
No, he just bitch slaps them.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
He's not a stupid villain. He is one you don't want to fuck with. Mm-hmm. But he's not stupid and just kills all of his underlings.
Yeah. But he's mad. And then we cut back to Adam, who after his fight has gone back to the cathedral tower where he originally met the gargoyles hundreds of years ago.
Right. I call them Bro Angel and Lady Angel. Or Gargoyle, sorry. Bro Gargoyle and Lady Gargoyle.
Yeah. They're like, you're coming with us. So they go inside.
Just clamp him in chains.
Yeah. And then back with Nibirius, he goes to talk to the scientists, and he's like, what do you all know about Victor Frankenstein? And they're like, you mean the guy from the storybook? We've read that book in school. Yeah. And he's like, no, we like, the real one. He believes that and they're like, oh yeah, sure. Okay. Like maybe Santa's real too. Who knows? And, he's like, no, I've got proof. I can show you. And you know, they're like, okay, yeah, bring us the proof then. So it's pretty clear that he has figured out that the guy who killed off a bunch of his guys is the monster.
Well, we're going to find out that apparently one of his underlings has been hunting Adam for 200 years, which would be great to have seen that instead of you just telling us.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we know that all this time took place, and yeah, they could have easily given us a little bit more of that and it built some stakes by showing rather than just being like, oh yeah, this totally happened.
That's honestly the biggest problem, is it tells you more than it shows you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much of like, it's the I'm just having a good time with my friends right off frame kind of thing, where it's like, mm-hmm. All right, yeah, sure, that definitely happened. Yeah. And I think so when you know, once he kind of
can we talk about another great line? This is by Dr. Wade / Yvonne Strahovski. She's like, if he made this monster, it would be 200 years old. That means it would be nothing but brittle bones. It's like, lady, this thing could fucking run up mountains. You don't think it would, like, and even Nibiru says, you don't think it would stick around for 200 years? It's right. Already dead.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So then we go back to the Gargoyle Queen, who is like, you know, you've been a liability all these years. I tried to trust you and it's been trouble. If you're not with us, you're against us.
This would have been a great prequel to this movie and actually seeing all the trouble he's caused her.
Yeah. She's like, if you're not on our side, you're no better than Nibirius. You know, I know you don't have a soul, but I thought you had potential.
Right. And the fact that what she says later, just mwah. Piece the shit to resistance.
yeah, and the whole time he's just like scowling at her, and he's like, you know, I don't fight for you. I don't fight for the demons. I'm not a human. I don't fit in anywhere.
Right. I know no other way.
Yeah. You know. At that point, like, we find out that, or Nibirius is like, okay, go to this cathedral. That's where you'll find him. And
right, the hunter that's been hunting Adam for 200 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so then we get a fight scene that lasts like 5 or 10 minutes, and it is, you know, I mean, it's CGI from this time period, so it's kind of muddy. It's really hard to tell what exactly is going on. You know, it's just like
the coolest video game cutscene from 2014.
Exactly. Yeah, just a lot of swooping things that, like, you know, and to make things worse, you know, if this was angels and demons, you know, you'd have like white robe, white wings versus dark things, and it'd be like, okay, I can kind of follow this. But they're gargoyles, so they just look like demons.
Stone.
Yeah, it's just all smudgy black creatures banging into each other in the sky.
Which, that has its own place, sure. But, yeah, not here. This is just actually boring.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be.
No. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, this is an aerial fight between gargoyles and demons. It should be really kick-ass, and it's not. Oh,
can we also talk about how apparently the Archangel Michael, like, created gargoyles, or at least assigned them to protect the earth? Like, what why wouldn't he just put angel, like, why wouldn't, I don't know, like, I feel like he would post more than just the standard amount of gargoyles that are now dying off.
Yeah,
at a good rate. Like, yeah. I don't know, maybe make them able to procreate.
Right. yeah I mean, you've got like the archangels, and like, well, we'll just send the B team. They'll take care of this. I'm like,
dude, I don't know if they're the B team. Like, we're at D at this point,
right? Yeah, because what happens over the course of, like, you know, you can't tell much of the fight, but the end result is the gargoyles are trying to protect Adam because they think that's what the angels, or what the demons are after. And technically they are after Adam, but they have a different plan, which is we can just kidnap the Gargoyle Queen and then use her as ransom and trade for Adam. It's much easier.
Holy shit. Like, honestly, the bad guys are way smarter than the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Or good guys. They're not good guys, technically.
Yeah.
There's no good guy in this movie. Maybe no, Adam.
Absolutely not.
Maybe? Kind of?
Yeah, Adam's just like a guy who's mixed up in a bunch of nonsense that he doesn't really need to be in the middle of.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say Dr. Wade is a good guy. Because, like, just trying to resurrect dead people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a noble pursuit, I guess, to a degree. But if you're working for a definitely sketchy rich guy, maybe there's some culpability there, too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we should say she doesn't know that he is the demon prince Nibirius. She thinks he is a guy named Charles Wessex.
Could you imagine what that would have done to her head? Like, she's like, Frankenstein's bullshit. Oh, I'm a demon prince, by the way.
Yeah.
I rule one of the 666 layers of hell.
That's so silly.
I know.
One demon then comes to Adam and is like, you know, we've got the queen hostage, and, you know, if you turn yourself in, we can...
Well, he's like, why do you think we came for you instead of something else? And then Adam's like, oh, shit!
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they abduct the queen.
Yeah. And Adam just, he's like, I don't want to be a pawn in this. So he just kills that demon and just leaves.
Oh, this is after Gargoyle Bro dies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then the lady... they introduce these two characters that look like they're going to be his allies, mm-hmm. right? We are about, what, 15, 20 minutes in at this point?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And the Gargoyle Bro is dead. And then apparently Lady Gargoyle was like, I'm not giving them their names. They don't deserve them. but she was like, we were going to be together, but the queen wouldn't let us or something like that. So now I want to die. And then she just ascends. It's like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
We got a Padme Amidala situation. Great.
But then we do find out that, so the second in command behind the queen is a gargoyle named Gideon. And he is susceptible to this whole, you know, ransom plot because he's very loyal
dumb.
To his queen. Yeah, yeah. Also that. he's like, I'm gonna go get her back. But when he goes there, he doesn't have Adam with him. And
well, he's like, I'm going to open the armory or some shit like that. And everyone's like, the armory, don't open that. That's dangerous. And he's like, he just grabs the Frankenstein journal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what the fuck was dangerous about that? Like, I mean, I guess maybe he had the holy hand grenade of Antioch somewhere in there. Sure, I would have grabbed that personally or some other divine relic to back up. But, you know, yeah. I'm not a gargoyle angel person. So what right. do I know?
But so yeah, he takes the journal to Nibirius.
He literally takes this thing to a fucking demon and he expects the demon's going to go through with the trade. He's not thinking there's any betrayal that's going to happen. Dude, it's a demon. That's what it does.
Right.
That's its main thing.
Yeah, it's because at first, Nibirius's guys are like, you don't have the monster with you. You know, we're not trading. And he's like, I think I have got something even better. So, you know, he shows him the journal. But the queen is right there and she's like, no, like, don't do this. Like, let them kill me. That would be better than them getting their hands on this book. Like, we don't want them to have this.
He's like, nope, I'm giving them the book.
Yeah. But luckily, Adam kind of knew some sketchy shit was going to go down, and he has followed and, like, bursts in at this point. We end up in, like, another fight scene, basically. First, he goes into this warehouse that looks like it's out of the Matrix, and it's just full of a bunch of, like, humans, like, in pods, like, thousands and thousands of them in this big room.
Hey, that looks like a scene from Van Helsing.
yeah, it does look like the bat pods.
Right.
Yeah. So then Nibirius takes the journal, he takes it to the scientists, and they're all...
Yeah, there's some weird doctor that's putting pentagrams on foreheads.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about at all.
I don't think he gets a name.
No, I don't think so. Meanwhile, they cut back to the cathedral where the queen is kind of yelling at Gideon for doing what he did. Yeah, and she was like, you know, you should have stuck with Adam and you know, listened to him. Like, you know, I think he's going to be really useful in this fight. And Gideon's like, but God didn't make him. He's an abomination. And she's like, yeah, God didn't make him, but God let him live 200 years. So he must have a role in this whole war.
I guess. I mean, that's also assuming that, you know, God's paying attention to this world.
Yeah. There's something about this that feels like supernatural, like the show Supernatural. Yeah. But it's, you know, Supernatural kind of has a thing where it's like angels and demons are fighting on Earth, but like God has moved on and like it is just this, it's like a stupid, pointless war that the soldiers don't know how to stop. And that feels right. like what's happening here, really. Like, it doesn't seem like God probably cares about this at all.
Nope. He kind of's like, I'll just write this one off, folks.
Yeah. She's like, the problem now is that not only do we not have Adam on our side, he's out in the wind somewhere, but right. he now knows that we had the journal about that tells his whole creation story, probably would have been very valuable to him. And he didn't know it existed,
yeah.
and we've been hiding it from him for 200 years, so he's probably going to be kind of pissed at us.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, we lied to him for 200 years.
Yeah. So she's like, why don't you go out and find him and see if you can smooth things over?
So then we cut to the lab once again with Dr. Wade and her assistant, and basically they're like, oh yeah, Frankenstein apparently brought the guy, or revived the guy with a bunch of... electric eels,
mm-hmm.
which it's like, electric eels, I mean, sure, but lightning storm?
Yeah, the Kenneth Branagh version had the eels too, right? Which seems so weird. Like, yeah, I mean, his version had lightning and eels, right? The eels were sort of like the batteries for the lightning in a way or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, it's just like, just eels. But as she starts doing... eel math, she's like, well, if it was this many eels and they produce this amount of voltage and it was in, she's like, this, that would have, like, that'd kill an elephant. This is some really high powered stuff. And
right. I wonder what it would take, or I think the assistant says, I wonder what it would take to kill a guy like that.
Yeah, like if this would kill an elephant and it brought him to life, he must be like practically unkillable.
Right.
And then we go, all right, so while they're having this discussion, suddenly Adam, like, just to just really lean into the Batman thing, he just like smashes through a skylight and just lands in the lab.
I wish he just had a long oversized hoodie, like one that was all basically half trench coat, half hoodie.
Yeah.
So it could flare out like wings.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels that way. And instantly, you know, I mean, these are just scientists. They're nerds. They're not like demon fighters or anything. So she just immediately just hands him the journal. She's just like,
right. He puts his hand out and she's like, oh, here you go.
Yeah. Sorry. But before he can take off with it, there's alarms going off and suddenly a bunch of demons burst into the lab and we've got Nibirius another. Yeah. Yeah. Nibirius is there as well. And Nibirius is like,
don't attack.
Yeah.
Chill.
Let's talk. We can discuss this. And he's like, you know, I apologize for the unfortunate awkwardness here. You know, my overzealous men are just protective. And you know, he's like, my name's Charles Wessex. And you must be Frankenstein.
No, that was the doctor's name, right? And he's like, well, yeah. You're kind of a son because he made you. Like, he took our stance on the whole thing. He's like,
yeah,
you're a Frankenstein too, buddy.
Yeah, like he, you know, because, you know, Adam says my name's Adam. And he's like, yeah, we are all the sons of our fathers, are we not? So, yes, he's definitely sticking with our interpretation of things. And he's like, you know, we could be allies. Like, this whole lab, the reason I wanted the book was because I want to continue your father's research. I think we could help each other.
Right.
And, you know, it looks like, you know, Victor wasn't able to restore your soul, but who knows? If we keep digging into this, you know, you could be something else. And,
right. Maybe I could restore your soul, you know? And then we'd be cool, right?
Yeah. But Adam is smarter than to fall for this. He jumps out a window with the journal.
Also, Nibirius at the very end, when Adam's like, fuck you, he tries to give him the two-finger salute. Like, apparently he can kill people just by shoving two fingers in them. I don't know.
Yeah.
And Adam's like, I'm not having none of that shit. By the way, that's going to bring up a question for later, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, so Adam like smashes out a window, lands on top of a train that's like several stories down, and somehow, I mean, like, we know he's Frankenstein, he's indestructible or whatever, but like he doesn't damage the train at all. Like, he just lands on it like it's nothing, and then just like climbs in a window and just sits in the train like a good commuter reading the journal.
And no one's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not in America, so I guess people kind of mind their own business. So.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Nibirius and his crew are kind of talking like, we've got to, you know, figure out how to proceed. We've got to get him back. We got to get the journal back.
We got to send his demon hunting buddy after, the demon hunter, as in a demon that is a hunter.
Right.
Specifically hunting.
Yeah.
Frankenstein.
He's like, well, we don't really have to work too hard, actually, because he's going to, if he reads that journal, he's going to want answers. And where else is he going to get them than from these scientists?
Well, I like how he specifically says he's going to go off somewhere and read it. When the fuck did you observe him doing that? In what situation was he like, oh, this is a piece of my history, I'm just going to go over here and investigate that. This is it. This is the only piece of his history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He acts like he's, you know, an expert on, and he has no idea. Like, he's just a demon.
It's telling us versus showing us again. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, in the 200 years, maybe he has been like on his tail this whole time, but yeah, we've never seen any of that. Right. And meanwhile, the scientist, she's pissed. Like, you scared him off. Like, we could have talked, we could have worked this out, but you had to, you know, go in guns blazing and freak him out. And now we've got nothing. We don't have him or the journal. The rest of the like demon crew leave, and it's just Nibirius and like that main hunter guy. They're like, what if we just keep an eye on the scientist lady? Because yeah, if he reads the journal, he may not come back here. He might be smart enough to just seek her out. So if we just tail her, just kind of use her as bait, that might be the trick. And sure enough, we cut right to Adam tracking her down in a dark alley. And he's like, I want your help. You know, we can work together.
Initially, it's the demon dude following her. Mm-hmm. And she clocks on to him. He's behind her, so she starts running.
Yeah.
And that's when Adam basically he Batmans behind her, grabs her, and's like, I'm Adam.
Yeah. And so then I think we cut to, like, her apartment. She's, like, brought him inside. And he's like, all right, so here, let me tell you the whole deal. There's a bunch of gargoyles. They're fighting a bunch of demons. And then they're all trying to get me because, you know, I have these mysteries of life and death. And I don't know what's exactly going on. But your boss, he's not actually a rich human. He's a demon prince. And she's like, yeah, no, that sounds like bullshit. Like, I don't believe in gargoyles. I don't believe in demons. None of this is ringing true to me at all.
Despite him being in the fucking book, his literal face in that fucking book, she's like, you must be delusional.
Yeah, but her skepticism doesn't last long because instantly the hunter demon bursts in, turns into, like, demon mode. You know, like, they kind of do, like the Buffy vampire thing where their faces get spooky. And, you know,
Adam says, this ends tonight, our fight of 200 years.
Yeah. And the scientist lady's just like, oh, shit. Like, literally just says, oh, shit. Like, this is crazy.
I mean, it is, sure.
Yeah. And so we get another lengthy fight scene. This one is better because it's just two people. And, you know, it's more indoors. So it's well lit. And the choreography is pretty good. Yeah.
It looks like a legitimate fight.
And not only that, but like the choreography is good, but the camera work is good, which I feel like this time period was really bad for, we're just going to do shaky cameras and quick cuts so that we don't actually have to do good choreography. This like lets you see that these are two, you know, I mean, that's stunt dudes or whatever, but they're like really doing shit and it looks good. So, you know, I mean, I wasn't expecting, especially after that first fight, like I was not expecting much out of this one, but this fight was much better. I was pretty impressed by it. And I think the end of the fight is like what Adam gets like punched through the floor, like because they're in like an old apartment building or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and then like the demon hunter guy jumps down and like kind of monologues at him at that point and is, he tells him like the whole fucking plan, right? Like he's like,
right. He gives him the whole thing.
Yeah. So the whole deal here is Adam doesn't have a soul, but he's alive. That's interesting because demons can apparently inhabit bodies that don't have souls in them, but they can't animate them. So if a demon jumps into a dead body, it's just stuck in a dead body.
Right.
So
it's all personal hell.
Yeah. So the whole thing is if we can take a corpse and revive it into a soulless living thing, then we can have demons on Earth that are more corporeal, that are like actually living things and not, you know, sort of transitional between heaven and or hell and earth. Right. So that's why there's a huge warehouse full of thousands of people. Those are corpses that they are going to,
they're going to literally bring back all the demons that the gargoyles have descended.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to win.
Yeah. We'll have a huge army on Earth and we'll be able to take out all the gargoyles at that point.
Fair enough.
He's getting ready to like kill Adam.
He's like, I got the journal. I don't need you.
Yeah, but then science lady is like, no, I'm the scientist here. You should listen to me, and I need him. Like, there's stuff that, like, I need to look at how his organs work more than what's in the journal. And he's like, yeah, sure, fine. We can cut him open when we get back to the lab. And she's like, no, I need to see how they work. I need him alive.
Well, it turns out this was mostly a distraction, or she was actually attempting, and Adam was like, nah, he's not going to go for that. So
yep.
I'm using this as a distraction.
Yeah, so Adam descends him.
He does it with his little punch dagger.
Mm-hmm.
Like he stuck out his punch dagger and was like, oh, here you go, buddy.
Yep. So then they go back again to her apartment where she is now tending to the wounds Adam got in the fight. And he's like, we got to get back to the gargoyles. We're not going to be safe here. They're going to keep coming. And I need to tell the gargoyles what Nibirius's plan is so we can save the world.
And she's like, not, we got to patch you up first.
Yeah. Basically, she's like, you're worth saving. You're a living human. And he's like, no, I'm a dozen used parts from 8 different corpses. I'm a monster. And yeah. She's like, you're only a monster if you act like one.
Act like one.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's stripping and like, you know, Aaron Eckhart, he's an older guy, sure, but he's still kind of built. And he's like, oh no, I'm disgusting.
Yeah. And like again,
he's got some scars, man.
Yeah, he's got like 2 scars on his face and then like 2 or 3 on his chest or something. Like he just looks like Aaron Eckhart. Like he would not have any trouble pulling a lady if he wanted.
I could probably name 3 goth girls that would be all for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So they leave, and then meanwhile Nibirius and his crew do arrive at her apartment. So it was smart that they left. And, you know, they're looking around, you know, they don't see, you know, any sign of the journal or Adam. So, you know, they're like, oh, you know, he must be going to the gargoyles. Or no, so the fight took place not in her apartment. That's right. Like, it's a separate spot because they still are at the apartment.
Yeah, I don't know if this is her apartment or just abandoned apartments that they just chill at.
Yeah, it's unclear.
I'm going to go with that one, though, even though there's clean running water.
And she starts, she has questions. She's like, you know, I read this story when I was a kid, but now I'm trying to get, you know, the true story from the journals, and I feel like I'm missing a lot. So what's up with Victor? And he's like, well, yeah, I killed him, and I killed his wife,
he died.
Too.
Yeah. He died.
Yeah.
I would have killed him.
Oh, right, yeah. She's like, well, have you killed anybody since then? And he's like, just demons, you know, it was... And she's like, well, it sounds like, you know, you maybe you had a reason for what you're doing there. And, you know, it seems like you're a good man now. And that's okay.
Once again, telling us that he's a good man now.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, while you were convalescing, I read the whole journal. I think I can help. And I think I can, you know, make good on Victor's promise and make you a bride. Which, haha, like, you know, if you don't see the writing on the wall yet, like,
yeah. She's going to die soon.
And yeah, so, oh, so, but then she gets a phone call. So this must actually be her apartment. It's just a shitty apartment. Cause she gets a call from
really shitty apartment. You're right.
From her, assistant/coworker.
Are you sure she doesn't call the assistant?
Does she not call
the assistant?
Maybe she does. Either way, she ends up talking to him and she's like, you need to leave work now. Don't, yeah. there's stuff going on that you're not aware of. You need to get out of there, get to safety, meet me at the train station, I'll explain everything.
By the way, what kind of science does this guy do, like, other than the medical science? Because for some reason, he's working on a circuit board. Like, he's soldering a circuit board.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Just because you know science doesn't mean you know all the science and computer science.
Right. All very different things.
Yes. That's the IT, hey, you know how to do one IT. Now you know how to do all IT.
Yeah, right. yeah, and so as soon as she hangs up with him, instantly Nibirius and some of his other crew come in and they're like, basically, we're coming with you. Like, this, we're going to set this up as a trap. We're going to get Adam back.
The assistant. Or they approach the assistant like, yep, thanks for taking that call. Now we're going to go set up Adam. Or
yeah. Back at the apartment, she's like, I'm going to go, you know, pick up my friend. And Adam's like, that's a bad idea. Like, you're walking into a trap. And she's like, no, it'll be fine. And he's like, at least take this consecrated knife with you because you're walking into a trap.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to go see the angels now.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of get in a fight where she's like, he kind of offers to help her, but she's like, no, you don't really want to help me. You should just run away like you always do. Like, look after yourself and I'll look after myself. And it's like, I don't know.
Think he's been running.
Yeah.
I feel like
he's been right there with her this whole time. He's been fighting for 200 years. And, you know, ever since she's known him, he's been like on the side of the good guys. But yeah, I don't know. She gets real defensive for some reason. So yeah, sure enough, you know, she gets to the train station and it's a trap. She's instantly surrounded. They knock the knife out of her hand and drag her away.
Yeah, her assistant's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She's like, why? He's like, this is a trap.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And meanwhile, Adam is talking to the Gargoyle Queen and tells her all the stuff he's figured out about Nibirius's plan.
Hey, at least she finally comes clean about lying to him for 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, they got the journal. We've had that. You know, I understand. You're a little pissed.
Yeah.
We'll never lie to you again. Okay. I can trust that shit.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, I'm telling you this information so you can continue your war with this intel, but I'm staying out of this. And now it's not because I'm protecting myself. I want to protect my, you know, this woman, this scientist who's important to me. So, like, right. You know, he's already caught feelings for her for sure. And she's like, okay, yeah, that's fine. You know, you go do your thing. You know, if we are able to save her, we'll save her. But then as soon as he leaves,
she's like, why the fuck did you do that?
Yeah. And she's like, follow him, get the journal from him, and then kill him.
Right. It's like, you're a lying piece of shit, mm-hmm. lady.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of angels are? Or, yeah, I guess yeah. They're not angels, they're gargoyles, but still.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Adam goes back to her, Tara's her name. I keep just calling her Science Lady. That was what but he goes to her apartment. She's not there, but the journal is. And as soon as he picks it up, Gideon bursts in, and we get another fight. This is why I was thinking the earlier one was at the apartment, because this fight is in the apartment.
Right.
And they just fuck up the whole... I mean, they destroy the whole ass building in this fight. Like,
it's mainly because Gideon is dive-bombing the shit out of Adam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this fight felt like a mirror of the previous fight, which kind of... I think the movie's like, you know, the angels and the demons, they're not so different. They're both...
Yeah.
Single-minded, they're pursuing their goal, and they will take out anyone and anything that gets in their way.
Right. And they're both lying pieces of shit.
Yeah. But at the end of this fight, Adam, the same way the last fight ends, he's able to ascend Gideon, and as Gideon's like shocked, like like somehow we're gonna fight and you're just gonna like pat me on the back and let me go
with his own axe. Yeah.
Yeah, and Adam's like, remember, I don't have a soul.
Well, Gideon says, God damn you to hell.
Yeah, and
Adam, of course, like, he already did.
Right.
How edgy can we get, guys?
Exactly, yeah. So then, back at the cathedral, we see the Gargoyle Queen. She's, like, gathering all of her armies together to go to war with the demons. And Adam has gone to the train station to see what's up with Tara. She's gone, but he sees the knife that he gave her laying on the ground, and he knows something bad has happened.
Yeah, and pretty much instantly, Lenora finds out that he ascended Gideon, and it's like, all right, we're gonna kill Adam. He's mm-hmm. dead now.
Yeah, and then we go back to the Wessex building where Tara is trying to negotiate with Nibirius, and she's like, you know, I could be useful. I could be helpful to you, but don't hurt. I did not write her coworker's name down, the other scientist guy.
It's fine. Like, there's no importance to this guy at all.
Yeah.
Like, other than just being fodder.
Yeah, because she's like, just don't hurt him. I'll help.
And well, she specifically says, I'll never do it. I will never do it. And then Nibirius is like, all right, I'll just kill this guy. Now you'll have to raise him if you want him to be around.
Right, yep. So, instantly we go to a reanimation scene where she is trying to bring her friend back to life. And then while that's going on, we see Adam. He's out in the street, and he has just finished. He's just finished reading the journal, and as soon as he's done, he just tosses it into like a burn barrel, like you know the barrels that you see like unhoused people like warming their hands or whatever. There's just one out on the street.
More in the 80s than nowadays, but
yeah,
it's still true.
Yeah, it's very much like this city is dark and edgy, so there's just, you know, filthy homeless people out on the street, and you know, so as soon as he tosses the journal in the fire, he just starts walking slow motion straight to the Wessex building. You see there's like gargoyles circling overhead, surrounding him, and he's just like, doesn't care. A gargoyle like swoops down at him, and he just like punches it out of the sky, and it hits a parked car.
He fucking jump and punches it. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
I literally wrote down, ha 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 ha, he dive punches a fucking gargoyle.
Yeah.
because it's ridiculous. And then apparently we find out that the gargoyles have blades in their arms, like the fucking Guyver or some anime character.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Well, that would have been fucking helpful. Why right. did they need all the swords when they had them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So he, like, just keeps going and gets to, like, the Wessex building. And then, like, a guard comes rushing into the lab to tell Nibiria / Wessex. And he says, "Sir, it's here."
Right. And Wade goes, "It's not it. It's him."
Yeah. So she clearly has feelings for him, too. She's yeah. so...
Boy, she's going to die soon, huh?
Right, yeah. So now we've got the demons all swarming out of the building as the gargoyles arrive. There's another big fight scene. And this one, it's kind of muddy and there's a lot of flying and you can't tell what's going on. But what you can tell is that Adam is just walking slow motion through it. Like, he just doesn't give a fuck. Right. And
he's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Lenore finally figures out this is the place where the demons were hiding. You know, the place where they kept going back to.
Yeah. Right.
By the way, her gargoyle form is goofy as fuck.
Mm-hmm, yeah, like, because, you know, she's dressed in all white, so her gargoyle is also white. And they do the thing where it's like, she's a lady gargoyle, so she has kind of concrete curves. Boobs sticking out a little bit. Yeah.
But her face is all, like, it's kind of like Lady Toothless from the How to Train Your Dragon movies.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right, yeah.
You know, exactly. But I could not take her serious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely looks like they just, like, put a bunch of foam on her. Yeah, she's not entirely believable. So meanwhile, Adam gets inside to fight Nibirius, and he's like, "Ah, Frankenstein, we meet again." Of course, Adam's just like, "My name is Adam," and they start fighting.
Right. I'm going to make sure that the Order of the Gargoyle, or the Gargoyle Order and the humans survive. Why? Why the Gargoyle Order? Fuck them.
Yeah,
they've done nothing but fuck you over.
Right. I don't know where this loyalty is coming from. And Nibirius is like, "Yeah, you can destroy this lab. It doesn't matter. I've got labs like this all over the world. I'm unstoppable." And then Nibirius finally reveals his demon form. So now we've got demon Nibirius and Adam fighting.
Right, and he's like, to make you mad, I'm going to kill your girlfriend. And he tries to throw Wade into the resurrection thing.
Yeah. But Adam, like, protects her, but he ends up getting injured in the process. Nibirius is like, "I don't understand. Like, I'm creating an army of Frankenstein. Like, I'm, you know, I would think you'd be excited about this. Your whole deal was that you wanted more of your kind to not feel so alone." And I'm gonna
make
thousands. By
the way, the demon timers in the basement are going off. The demons are ready.
Yeah. So they start waking up. Meanwhile, Nibirius starts doing, like, an incantation.
Yeah, he carves a pentagram. He, like, catches Adam and carves a pentagram into his head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh no, Adam's gonna get possessed because he's got no soul.
Yeah. And we start to see, like, fireballs coming up out of the ground, presumably demons coming to possess all these corpses. And the corpses start kind of walking around. And then we get something where, like, it looks like Adam's possessed. And it's like, oh shit, things are changing. But all of a sudden, no, it was a trick. He just starts attacking Nibirius again.
Well, okay, let's break this down. Because this is a very special scene. Okay? Like, looks like, yeah, like you said, looks like he's possessed, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, Nibirius is like, "Hey, wait a second, you know, how does it feel, brother, being one of us?" And Adam's like, "I'm not one of you. I have a soul." And he wipes the pentagram off his head. This was carved into your forehead. When did you get super regenerative powers?
Right.
Also, when did you get a soul?
Yeah.
Was it just because you saved Wade?
Yeah, it's more telling instead of showing.
Right.
And so to get Nibirius back for carving the pentagram in his forehead, he carves the gargoyle symbol into Nibirius's chest.
Yeah, well, what do you think that does? That symbol will fuck anybody up.
That's, yeah. Yep, so it's... Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we didn't talk about this, but Lenore and the gargoyle crew, they were in the basement trying to destroy all the resuscitating corpses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At this point, the Wessex building started to collapse. Adam grabs Tara, like she's like falling. He catches her and like swings out from the collapsing building.
So and basically Lenore's trying to escape with her crew, but then just this massive fucking fireball just drops on her head.
Yeah. And somehow that, like, she seems fine.
Well, for a second there, all the gargoyles are like, oh no. And then she flies out of nowhere. Fucking bright blue now. Mm-hmm. She goes from just plain white to, like, glowing blue. Mm-hmm. She has Adam and Tara in her talons, her feet talons.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What happened? How did that happen? How did that happen?
Yeah, Yeah, it's just a lot of like, okay, this like just don't pay any attention. Just...
Right. She got an anime power up fucking from getting a fireball dropped on her head.
Yeah. And when she comes out, the gargoyles are just kind of like hovering in place with their wings flapping, and the CGI is real rough on this part. Like it's a little bit better than this, but it kind of gave me like Birdemic vibes, like where mm-hmm. you just have the birds with the wings going up and down and not actually moving.
It's better, but not much better.
Yeah. So they at this point, they all kind of return to the cathedral.
They're all friends now because Adam has found his higher purpose.
Yeah.
What? Did she say he was going to get a higher purpose?
Yeah. And Adam's like, oh, by the way, I did kill Gideon. And she's like, yeah. I know. But yeah, right. But you know, higher purpose, it's fine. Tara's like, where's the journal? And he's like, I don't need it anymore. I found a real bride. Tara. It's Tara. Yeah. Tara's the bride of Frankenstein, it is, I guess.
I think she needs to consent first. Like, I'm sure you're not going to get far from it. Like, she's already on board. But I think you still need to ask.
Yeah.
Then we get his speech about, I am the son of Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yeah, it... I actually wrote it all down because it's so silly. All right,
let's hear it. I'm ready.
We do not ask for the lives we are given, but each of us has the right to defend that life. I have fought to defend mine, and when the forces of darkness return, you shall know that I am out there fighting to defend yours. I, defender of the demon horde. I, my father's son. I, Frankenstein. Yep. Classic nu metal credit song. Yeah.
With some, I guess, storyboard, like, drawings.
That yeah.
Animated slightly.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, I do like when they do something with the credits, but yeah, I mean, it's not much. But yeah, this movie is dumb as hell, but it is fun. You know, like it's not as good as Van Helsing or the Underworld movies. Absolutely not. Like, but if you've seen all those and you're still looking for more of that vibe, you could do worse for sure.
This is absolutely its own genre.
Mm-hmm.
It's like schlock horror adventure.
Yeah. And it was definitely just that time period. Like, we don't really see these kind of movies. I mean, I guess Universal, when they did like the Tom Cruise Mummy, were kind of trying to do it again, and it did not go well.
Painful and boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least this isn't boring. The plot is full of holes. There's a lot of nonsense, but it's not boring.
Yep. You they will come to some conclusions that you're like, when did that happen? Why didn't we see that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like this is the third movie in, like, a great trilogy, but we just got this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it feels like this has this graphic novel or whatever. Maybe there's more filled in there, but it definitely feels like they just kind of, like, we can squeeze that into an hour and a half and, you know, whatever. If they had... They could have either just set it in modern times and just been like, don't worry about what happened in the past, or given us more of the past so that we had some stakes for the present, but kind of doing this sort of middle ground where, like, we hear some past stuff, but we don't really see it. It just doesn't feel like... I mean, it just feels like an exposition dump at the very beginning of a movie, which is the worst time to have an exposition dump.
And it is a dump of exposition, for sure.
For real, yeah. Yeah, so this one, you know, it's a good... if you want to turn off your brain and just, like, watch Frankenstein punch things for an hour and a half, this is the movie for you, but this isn't one where you're going to find a lot of like, oh, the theme, you know, there's angels and demons, but there's no religious theme. There's no, nothing to like sink your teeth into as far as like, you know, depth there.
Right. You almost have to turn your brain off.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's fine. It's not yeah. the worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a solid middle of the road action movie that you don't see much of these days. So you know, there's something nostalgic about it, but yeah, beyond that, it's, you know, it's not gonna like win any awards or anything, that's for sure.
Not at all. Not at all. All right. Anything else we got to say about it?
I think that covers this one.
All right. Where can they find us, Anthony?
Yeah, so you can find us on all the socials at the Frankencast. You can email us at thefrankencast@gmail.com. You can also find us over on YouTube, and of course you can find us at patreon.com/thefrankencast, where we've got all kinds of stuff. We've been doing some out of the box things lately. There's a lot of fun stuff over there. We'd love for you to check out the free trial and see what you think.
Absolutely. You know, Anthony, it's about that season, the season of love, or lust in some cases.
Right, yeah.
Maybe we could have some lust for Frankenstein.
yeah, join us next week for this one. That's going to be one of the more trashy movies we've done on the main feed, so I'm excited to get into it.
Okay, if it tells you anything, written by Jesus Franco.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said.
And it's like late period Franco, where he wasn't even like trying to be sort of art housey anymore.
Right. So, yeah. Oh, is this the one with his daughter?
I think it might be.
Oh, yeah. This has got to be the most uncomfortable movie to direct.
Yeah.
Unless you're that trashy.
Well, yeah, so get ready for some horny trash next week in honor of Valentine's Day.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you, and to be continued.
Looks like you survived another episode. The Frankencast is a production of FCR Media. It's hosted by Anthony Bowman and Eric Velasquez. Follow us on Twitter at TheFrankencast. Or send us a letter at thefrankencast@gmail.com. Our cover art is by Amanda Keller. You can find her at Keller Illustrations on Instagram. Our theme music is by Vivek Abhishek. Thanks for listening.